This morning, you've already received a sample of the worship hour of the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, a time of teaching, a time of fellowship, a time of singing, time of preaching, praying that the Lord's name, first of all, would be lifted up and His name would be praised in everything that we do. So in Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading at verse 27. We'll read down through verse 30. Then I'm going to turn to 1 Peter in chapter 3 to finish out our reading before we get into the message. Philippians in chapter 1, and I probably ought to turn there myself. I get in a big way of talking and I forget what I'm doing. Philippians in chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Folks, I'll tell you what, if you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to be telling others about the hope and the joy that you have in your own soul and how it got there and why it got there. I tell you, there's quite nothing quite like being saved by the grace of God. Having the joy deep down in your heart, having the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in your mind, but in a place of safety, a place of the heart, the inner being of man. Not, as Brother Jim said this morning, not this physical heart that we have that pumps blood through our system, but the spiritual heart of man. And I'll tell you, when you have the joy of salvation in your spiritual heart, folks, there's nothing that will stop you from telling others about the joy and the hope of your salvation. Verse 28, the Bible said, well, let me back up and we'll read verse 27 again. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw me now here to be in me." In 1 Peter now, 1 Peter in chapter 3, beginning at verse number 8, 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse number 8, going down through about verse 13, the Bible says, "Finally, be you all of one mind." The Apostle Paul and Peter both have the same idea about the church. And it's the same teaching that they received of the Lord Jesus Christ, how the church is to be a unit. It is to be a working unit. A working unit that is like you ladies when you knit and what have you, and I've used this illustration before. You know, you're doing the knitting, and I used to watch my grandmother. She would take that thing and begin to pull on it, and she would pull this way and tug at it and everything else. And I asked her one time, "What are you doing?" Because I couldn't understand. I thought she was trying to get it to reach to the next stitch that she needed to go to. And she told me, she said, that makes it a stronger knot there. It makes it a stronger a body in general. The whole thing becomes stronger and they're knit together. Our love for each other ought to be knit together as a church family. Our love for the redeemed ought to be such that we are, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are knit together. In other words, we are tied together by one common theme and goal, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Again, the Bible teaches us here, "Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessings, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, and again, this is just a common courtesy for each other. This is what Peter is trying to get our attention around. Listen, if you want to be blessed, you be a blessing. You be somebody that's a blessing to somebody else, and you'll find out it'll come back and it'll meet you. But sad to say, so will also the curse of a cursing. In other words, when an individual treats other families of the Church of the Living God in a foul and irreverent way, it'll always come back to bite you. It'll always come back to turn upon you. But here, we understand that Peter is exhorting the people of God to not only love one another, but be a blessing to each other. Amen? To be that individual who will lift up the falling. It is that one who encourages those that are down. The Bible says in verse 10, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against all them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" I want to bring a message today, striving together with one mind. There have been many times I've preached over the last 18 or 20 years. There have been many instances that I've preached out of this one text alone. How that God's people, the Church of the Living God, are to perform certain things in order for God's blessings to flow upon us. Now folks, I want you to know something today. I am thankful for the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. I want you to know that first of all, up close and personal. I want you to know that I thank God for the love that is exhibited here. But what I'm saying is that we've got to protect that love. We've got to always care for that love and nurture it and help it to grow. You know, Brother Jim mentioned something about faith. You know, that's our whole subject in tonight's message. Adding to our faith. There are certain things that ought to be added to the faith of those that are saved by the grace of God. And one of those number one things is love and admiration for the brotherhood. Many times in our prayer room, I hear men that will pray, you know, we pray for the brotherhood. Or in other words, we pray for the love and unity of the brotherhood. That's including all of us that are saved by the grace of God and members in particular in this body. That is the brotherhood that we want to speak of here today. And I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be uplifted. I want you to be satisfied that God is in this place. That the house of God is visited by the very God of heaven, folks, is a must. And without His presence, without the presence of the Holy Spirit, without Him speaking to men like from the devotionalist all the way to the teaching and the preaching, how that always it just God enables it to mesh together. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit's in it. The Holy Spirit is in this place. And folks, without that, you're no more than a country club down the road. So may God encourage us in our teaching here today. Heavenly Father, dear God, as we humbly come before Your throne, Father, we thank You for the good day which You've already given us. We thank You, dear God, for filling this house with Your people. We thank You, dear God, for visitors and pray that You would add a blessing to them even this very hour. Lord, that they may be encouraged because they're in the house of God today. Find it to be a place that is good for family and for soul. Lord, I pray that You'll bless us this morning. Bless our radio audience. Bless those out in sermon audio land, wherever they may be across this whole world. I pray, dear God, that Your name will be lifted up and the saints may be encouraged, especially in this last day in which we live. A day, dear God, that You said would come. A day when men's hearts will fail them for fear. A day when the devil is actually working harder than he's ever worked his entire existence, because I believe that he knows these days must be short. Father, I pray that You will open our eyes and our ears. Help us today to see and understand. Lord, we're praying for the lost around us. Dear God, that they may come to know Thee as Savior, and they may repent of their sins and trust Thee as Jesus Christ, the Savior of men. Oh, Father, bless today. Bless Thy Word. Encourage us today. Lift up the fallen. Dear God, I pray for our sick. Pray, Father, You would help them to recover and be back on the mend and back with us soon. Lord, we praise You. We praise You for Your Word. Lord, that You have left us everything that we need to know in order to make our abode in heaven. Lord, I pray that You will bless us. May this be a time of refreshing. Forgive us, Lord, our sin. In Jesus Christ's name, and amen. Emmanuel, to our visiting friends and our radio audience, our message today is all about how we can work together for a common goal and a common work. It's just like any job where there are many people working and doing so to achieve a common objective and a clear and precise end to that goal. There must be a precise and definite end goal to obtain the objective. And in order for that to happen, we must all be looking at the same set of prints. In other words, we must all be thinking about the same design of the Bible. Not only looking at the same set of prints, in other words, this Word of God, this director, this directive and direction giving, life-giving force, but actually working together to achieve the goal by this same Word of God. So how do we do that? How do we as a church family build up ourselves in the most holy faith? How is it that we can be used of God to be a blessing to others in our community? It must first, I believe, begin in the house of God. Amen. But the Bible says that we must stand fast in one spirit. That means there must be a unified body on the teachings of the Word of God. Amen. There must be a unified mindset when it comes to the Word of God and to the biblical truths that we stand for. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, we'll go back here again, because this is where we're going to take the bulk of our message from today, is Philippians in chapter 1 in our scripture reading. Look at this with me now. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible says here, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit." Now, church, this is one of those areas that many churches have a lot of problems with. There is a discord among many of the brethren in many churches today, but I'm thankful that in the house of God known as Emmanuel, we have no such conflict. And I'm pleased beyond measure to enter into a business meeting. You know, some places in some churches, I mean, the pastor cringes And he begins to quake in his shoes when you mention the fact that it's business meeting time. Because sometimes it seems like it's always a ruckus and a fight and a hardship. But not so with the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. I believe that we're walking in the truths that God has delivered to the saints. I believe we stand fast in one spirit together. As a unified, baptized body of believers, I believe that we are a people that are faithful to the unity of the body. The word spirit here in Philippians in chapter 1 and verse 27 is thuma in Greek. And that is this thought. It is the rational spirit. It is the rational mind, the element of life, as referring to the disposition or the feeling and temper of mind. The spirit of gentleness, so to speak. We that are saved by the grace of God ought to have this feeling of camaraderie about ourselves. In other words, we ought to have this unity about us, and always that it may exist in a spirit of a mutuality. In other words, a spirit of love and compassion for one another. We as a church family must have our attitudes and our characters in check. Amen. I mean, sometimes we as a group of individuals, I mean, you look across this house today, I mean, the pews are full nearly, and listen, that tells me that there's a lot of different ideas out there. In other words, there's a lot of different thoughts about what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. But if you go by the Word of God, listen, there'll never be a struggle with those thoughts, will they? Sometimes we have to bow to the Word of God and leave our mind and our thinking at the door in order to achieve the objective that God has for this church. Listen, I want you to know something. And I believe this is one of the most imperative things that a church needs to get a hold of. That there has to be a unity among them in order for God to bless them. There has to be a love and a compassion in order for God to overwhelmingly begin to pour out the windows of heaven for us and begin to shower down upon the house of God the blessings that He has intended for us. We need to stand together for the edification of all the saints. Amen. You know, you go back to the book of Galatians and I believe it's chapter 6 and verse 1 and here we see something that oftentimes people that have had to in their time of ministry or in the church's life has had to come to a point where maybe somebody had to be discipline brought about for whatever reason, you know, for sin, stuff that would hurt the church's reputation or a sin that a grievous sin against the Lord, and sometimes you have to come and say, hey, there must be something took place here. You got to fix the problem. You know, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 that if we have an individual for whatever reason that is sins, a sin of trespass that would cause him to have disciplinary action brought against him, but he comes to a place of repentance. You know what the church is supposed to do? The church is supposed to receive that individual. Amen? I mean, the church is supposed to welcome them back into the fold, into the protection of the family of God, and into the joys of a church family that's loving and caring and wanting the best for an individual. The Bible says here, brethren, verse 1, Galatians 6, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, I believe it was maybe last Sunday night, I made the statement, you know, as I look out and over my ministry over the last 18 years here, I have You know, sometimes I made this statement that sometimes people think I've been too lenient on different things. But Galatians 6:1 always comes back to me as it reminds me of a time when I had done the same thing or been involved in something that I shouldn't have been. And I was glad that the Lord not only forgave me, but I was glad that the church received me back into the fold at that time. I go back and I think about those things and I have a thought of mercy. I have this thought of trying to lift up that individual and encourage them in the right way. Because the Bible says again, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. I mean, we're talking almost present tense stuff here. If a man be overtaken in a fault, if from that moment on he has come, he says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. You know, that's one thing as a pastor that I have to do a lot, it seems like. I have to consider my actions. I have to consider my own faults in the past and my own failures. And I have to come to a sense of, listen, as a church family, we need to try to encourage and uplift instead of what some people do. If there was a disciplinary action brought against a brother or sister, a lot of times a person will stomp on them, kick them, and kick them completely away from the roadside even, just to make sure they don't get back close to the church. Folks, I'll tell you, God's people, I mean, I know there comes a time when a church has got to be careful. She has to watch over her children. She has to watch over certain things. Listen, I understand all that. I understand what it is. You know, I had a man at one time. He was a man who tried to get close to me, and he was in jail and what have you. And the reason why that I feel that this man was trying to get close to me, that I may speak well on his behalf. But listen, I'll never forget it. The jailer came to me one day as I was visiting and having prayer with this individual, and he happened to say, "Hey, I need to talk to you a minute." And he took me in his office and he said, "Hey, do you know what you're dealing with here?" I said, "No, sir, I don't. All I know, this was a man who called and sent me letters saying he needed a man of God in his life to tell him about the things of the Lord." He said, "He's a playing you." He said, "He's playing on your emotions. He's playing because I want you to know what he is." He was a child predator. And I began to get, I mean, I shook all over. And I began to get, I got plumb nauseous. Because I knew what was going on at the time. He told me, he said, "He's playing, he is all he's doing." And I began to wonder, because this man was a so-called churchgoer for a long time. And he was a man who everybody kind of watched because he was always real close to the children. Folks, I want you to know something. There's people like that that need to be out of society altogether. I'm sorry. But people like that don't need to be in society because they're a danger to children. But what I'm talking about here is a people that have just sinned, a common sin or whatever it may be that has brought disgrace to the church and to the living God of heaven. The Bible says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. You know, they may be a teachable person. So what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with a spirit of meekness. We are to be encouraging to each other. We're to be encouraging to every member which makes up this body. We are to be uplifting and not abrasive or degrading to others. You know what contention always does? It always builds a fire with itself. The Bible teaches us in the book of Proverbs in chapter 26 that where Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. You know, where there's no contention, there is no problem. You know, that's what I'm so thankful for this church. I ain't saying we're perfect, and we're not. We're not perfect, but I'll tell you one thing. This church is filled with love. This church is filled with an attitude of receiving and reaching out to others. And that, my friend, is a wonderful thing. Go back with me to Proverbs 26 for just a moment. I'll read some of this and have us to understand what it says. In Proverbs chapter 26, begin reading at verse 17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belongeth strife which belongs not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. As a madman who casteth firebrands and arrows and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly, burning lips, and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. You think you got something going on, and all of a sudden when it's broken, you find out it's just silver covered, piece of clay pot. It was covered up by a lot of flattery. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. Now think about that for just a moment. Again, this is where that our minds and our tongues have got to be very careful with each other. This is where a lot of times in many churches, this is where the problem begins to erupt and blow up. He that disassembleth with his lips. In other words, he that tells things that he shouldn't. He that brings division with his words. Is he that is a destroyer and a destructor. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit, and his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. You know, a lot of times, have I not ever mentioned the fact that when people have this problem, and they're beginning to try to bring it in somewhere else. You know, I've said many times before, you give a man enough rope and he'll hang himself with it. You sit back and you watch, and the man who dug the hole will be the very one that falls in the pit and is caught in the net of lies and destruction. You see, that's the reason why the Lord uses the church as a metaphor of a place of peace and contentment, a place of joy and happiness, a place where we can all come together to do what? To worship Him the way we ought to. It's kind of hard to come to the house of God and worship if there's contention or if that side back over Brother Craig is against Sister Debbie up here. I just use them two as a because I know how much they care for each other. Sister Jennifer, I know how much they love each other, so I can say that without worrying about causing a rift, but you see what I'm saying? It's kind of hard when that side back there is against somebody over here, and when they're walking out the door, they try to get away from each other, but before they have to speak to each other. You can't worship like that. That's the reason why you have to be careful. That's the reason why God's Word is so full of the attributes of joy and peace within the church, within the confines of the church body, Because God knows that when we come in and we begin to bring contention and strife in, when there is a spirit of what am I trying to say? Nobody can read this mind, can they? When there is a spirit of competition, you know what? Competition is one thing that ruins a church family. That's the reason why God speaks about the fact that God places in the body such as should be saved daily. God places not only those in the body, but He does it for a reason, and He does it that we all may feed off of each other. The joys and love and peace and contentment. That's what God does for us. So we as a church must be together in spirit and in attitude. Now I'm going to have to move along where I'm not going to get through my points on the radio. Now secondly, we must stand fast with one mind. Again, what are we dealing with? Again, we're dealing with unity of body. We're dealing with unity of body, and we're dealing with it as it concerns the words of God. Philippians 1:27 speaks it very well, and we'll go back here again and look at this in the latter part of that scripture. Philippians in chapter 1, in verse 27, that you stand fast in one spirit, in other words, as brotherhood, with one mind. That speaks of the unity of the Word of God in our minds and hearts. We stand together. We stand together on the Word of God, on the principles of God's Word, on the on the articles of our faith, of the teachings that make us who we are and what we are. We stand together because, I'll just say this, the Bible speaks about the fact that there are those that preach another gospel. Paul said that's not even a gospel. So, that's the reason why we have to be careful. We have to watch for each other. We have to be on the same page, reading the same blueprint, the same articles of God that He has delivered unto us into our heart, that we stand together as it is written by the Word of God, by God Himself. Working together because of the same knowledge of truth. To be one soul means to be unanimous, united in affection and will. This word, mind in the Greek, means to the seat of the senses, the desires, the affections, the appetites, our passions. He's saying we need to stay together. Our minds need to be focused on what's important. That is, that the Word of God be not perverted. Our desires as a church, the body of Christ in this location, should be for its well-being and the growth spiritually. Everything else will fall into place when we as a church continue to do what God wants us to do by the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. We are to preach that which was once delivered to the saints by what? By who? By the apostles and by Jesus Christ Himself. Folks, that's the reason why we have the trail of blood up here. I understand some of our young people have asked Brother John to go over the trail of blood with him. Listen, I want you to know something. That's the reason why that we stand for the things we stand for. And folks, know this, that during that dark spell there was a time when Baptists were murdered by the millions. Why? Number one, because of rebaptism. For rebaptism, we were called the rebaptizers because we stood with what God's Word said. We stood by the faith that was once delivered to the saints of God. Folks, I'll tell you, these things are important to a church. In 3 John, if you go over there with me for just a moment, 3 John, notice what it says here now. In verses 2 down through verse 8. 3 John, verse 2 down through verse, we'll just read verse 1 down through verse 8, where the Bible says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." Folks, I want you to know something. That's the way we ought to address each and every one of us, each and every time we meet. I thank God for our church family. I thank God that He's allowed me to pastor here for over 18 years now. I thank God that our love has grown with each other down through the years. I thank God to have the ability and opportunity to watch as these children were once held in my arms right here, are now getting ready to go to college here shortly. Folks, I'll tell you, I've been blessed beyond measure just to be a part of this body. And each one of us ought to think the same thing. We ought to think the same thing, that we have been blessed beyond measure just to be a part of the body of Christ here in this location. I'm not talking about the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about us as brothers and sisters worldwide over. I'm talking about this location. It means something to be a part, to be an active agent in the well-being and thoughts of others around us. What a blessing it is to know that He is working in us. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Should that not be the desires of every member of this body? That each and every one of us prosper together in the things of God. I'm not talking materialism. I'm talking about prosper spiritually. Prospering spiritually. Growing in the Word of God. Growing in faith. Growing in love with one another. All of us together as saints of God. You know what? When we have individuals, we have visitors here today that are saved by the grace of God. They're not part of this body. They're not members of this body. But I still love them just the same. But folks, I want you to know something. When we're working together as a group of individuals that are called out for one purpose, that is the spread of the gospel and the glory of God. Listen, anything is possible with a church that is doing what God wants them to be doing. The Bible goes on to say, I rejoice greatly with the brethren when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Now, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This was the converts. This was not his actual children. This was the spiritual converts or his spiritual children that he's dealing with here. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou dost to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Folks, again, you come to our church covenant where the Bible says, having been led by the Spirit. Folks, if you're following after the leadership of the Spirit, you cannot go wrong. I promise you that on the authority of God's Word. May God help us to see that is our prayer. Members in particular, and in unity for the common goal, working together for the sake of Christ. May God help us to be there. Now, thirdly, I have about 10 minutes to get through this rest of my message, and I pray that we do, but I want you to think about these things now. Thirdly, striving together for the faith of the gospel. See, you go back to the book of Philippians, and where Paul is teaching there in the church of Philippi, he's saying there should be one common goal. That is for the advancement of the church of the living God. How does that happen? Listen, you can't sit still and dry up and die, can you? You cannot sit still and dry up and wither away. You've got to be about the Father's business. You've got to be about the spreading of the gospel. You know, there's about 2 to 3 times a year that me and some of the men, we will canvass Route 1 to Route 7. And I've been to, in the years that I've been here, I've been to 150-some homes in this area. You know what? I don't just invite them to the church. I invite them to Jesus. How? By the just simple giving of the gospel. May God help us to see that. I've been in places where maybe I couldn't, maybe I didn't receive an answer at the door. You know what I do? I just leave a door hanger there. It's what I call a care package. As a matter of fact, it's what is written on typed on the paper that's inside the cover of that bag. A care package from the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. And inside it, there's nothing but the gospel message. I pray that God will use that. That He may lead, might see souls saved. But that should be our striving goal. To work together for the spread of the glorious gospel. That's a reason why that we stay on the radio broadcast. That's a reason why that we now have a sermon audio that goes all over the world. We receive reports in from all over the world, different countries all over the world that have heard this service going on. They will hear this service within an hour or so. All over the world. We have servicemen. We have servicewomen. We have people that are Native Americans who are all placed all over this world who will listen to the Word of God. We have people that have that speak English that will take the Word of God and hear it. There's people that are in places that you wouldn't believe that hear the gospel that comes forth from this body. You see, we all work together. You know how we do that? Through number one, through tithes and offerings. You see, you can't just say it's done and it's done. You know, you gotta pay for those things. There's only one way to get the radio broadcast to keep it going. We gotta pay the bill monthly. We have four services, sometimes five services each month. We have to pay that bill. And that's what makes you a church member, an equitable part of the spread of the gospel wherever that word goes forth. You know, I was in a store not too long ago, and I had somebody, and I was asked my name because I was actually buying some ammunition, so I have to give my name and all that stuff. I mentioned my name, and somebody said, "Hey, are you that man that's on at 4:00? "Yes, I am." I said, "Our church family puts that on, Emmanuel Baptist Church." "Yep." And I was told that their grandparents and many people in their family live way out in the country. They listen to that every Sunday. Folks, even if one person is bettered off by the Word of God, it's well worth it, isn't it? It's worth every penny that we put into it if one person comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's worth every penny. But we work together. The Bible says, you know, the church is not built of all pastors. It isn't built up of all deacons and all teachers. Listen, we're all together in this church for a common goal, and that is to work together for the glory of God, for the advancement of the kingdom of God. So may God help us to see that is our prayer. I'm down to about 5 or 6 minutes. This is my last point, so I should get through if I don't say a whole lot. But we must be aware that there is, in this world today, an attempt to pervert the gospel. You all know that. The Apostle Paul said that. The Apostle Paul made mention of it. I believe it was in the book of Galatians when he's talking to the church at Galatia. Let's go over for just a moment and look at this. I have a problem when people say, it's just a little thing. It don't mean a whole lot. Listen, I want you to know something. One thing taken out of context on the gospel of Jesus Christ is no longer the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's the gospel of Jesus Christ? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4 states it very plainly, plus nothing, minus nothing. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There it is in a nutshell. That's the gospel. Plus nothing and minus nothing. But here in the book of Galatians, in chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 6, the apostle Paul was speaking here and he was perplexed. How could this happen? He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. How do you pervert the gospel of Christ? You put something in there. That's all it takes. Or you take something out. You know, I believe there are several parts to the salvation of an individual. Number one, they have to be quickened by the Spirit. Amen. They have to be brought to life. You have to know, because before that, you'll never hear of the Jesus Christ, Him crucified. But you have to be quickened according to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. And you hath He quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sin. So if you're not saved by the grace of God, you're dead in trespasses and in sin. The second thing that needs to come to bear witness, there needs to be a conviction. Your heart needs to be sorry for sin. You know what? There's too many preachers today that are willing to forgo all that just to get a proclamation of salvation. Just to get another number among the crew. Folks, I'll tell you one thing. I'm protective of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't worry about the numbers. I let the numbers take care of themselves. I let God add to the church such as should be saved. And I've told folks before, listen, I'm not going to coerce you into joining this church. If the Lord leads you, the Lord leads you. That's fine and well. But I'm not going to draw you into a place where God doesn't want you. What I say is this. You pray about it. If you've been made aware and you're saved by the grace of God, you pray about, you make sure the Spirit leads you in the right direction. That's where it needs to come to. Too many preachers today, again, they're worried about drawing sheep in, when a lot of the times what they're doing, they're putting goats in. That needs to be paid attention to. But here the Bible says this, and I've got no minutes left. I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ into another, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You say, man, that's awful strong language. I'm just telling you what God's Word says. God's Word says if there's anybody that preaches any other gospel, in other words, if you add anything to it or take anything away, God's Word says let him be a curse. You say, man, it's strong. That's God's Word, though. And again, as you said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. That's how serious Paul took it. That's how serious that we need to take it. Listen, we are working here for a common goal, and that is the spread of the gospel for what? For the sake of lost sinners, that we might see souls saved by the grace of God. How shall sinners be saved? They'll never be saved until, first of all, the Lord awakens them or quickens them so that they may see. And then the Lord convicts them of their sin. He shows them what they are, which breaks their heart. It causes them to feel the guilt and the anguish of what they really are in the eyes of a holy God. And then He gives them what I preached on Wednesday night, that gift of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So once faith comes, you know what happens? Faith gives you the ability to believe on the backside. Faith gives you that ability. Folks, I'll tell you, that's how salvation works. That's what the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is all about. Seeing sinners saved by the grace of God. My friend, we are to be defenders of the gospel message. Man did nothing and does nothing to earn, achieve, deserve the salvation of the God of heaven through the glorious gospel. We must care for it as though our lives and our lost family members and our friends depend on it, because it does. You say, well, I thought you was a sovereign grace preacher. I am a sovereign grace preacher. I believe in all the parts of salvation that God initiated before the foundation of the world. But I know one day I'm going to stand and give an account how I delivered that glorious truth of hope. You say, well, I'll just go back to Ezekiel, dealing with the watchman. Where the Bible says if the watchman sees the problem and sees destruction coming and doesn't warn, guess what? The blood of that people's on his shoulders. You say, well, I thought you again believed in the sovereignty of God. I do. God's got one way of salvation. God's got one way of hope, and that's through Jesus Christ, Him crucified. And it is there to all those who will come unto Him. He says, I will in no wise cast out. So then, again, we go back to what I said Wednesday night. How does faith come? Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. And the hearing is what brings about that salvation. That gift that is given to each and every one that has been saved already has been a gift of God. I want to close with this. Again, we as the church of the living God are to be staunch defenders of the gospel. We're to show loyalty. We're to show enthusiasm about how and what saved us and give the same hope to others around us. You see, that's the goal of the church today, to bring glory to God that we might see souls saved and brought to Jesus Christ. Folks, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to be a part of the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. I'm blessed beyond measure. I'm thankful how God has blessed. The devil has fought, but the Lord has blessed. Amen. Down through the ages, since 19 and 20, the Lord has blessed this little congregation here. He has watched over her. He has guided her. He has led her in the way of truth. The reason why we're here today, you look around and see this full house, and we have a lot of people that are out because of sickness and what have you, is because of what Christ done for us. And God keeps the church, amen? May God help us. May God lead us in the right way. And may God save souls, even here this very hour. Let's all stand, please.